Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea. I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox. Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers and Window World.
A Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Darren Richards still out there, and his run of really fine starts continues. And that's it. Oh, made a terrific pitch, 94 miles an hour to strike out Biggio.
Pretty nasty down on the outside corner, down low.
Jonathan Davis with a walk and a tapper to the third baseman on a windy evening here at Dunedin. And that's in there for strike three. Frozen. No trigger there for Davis. Back-to-back K's. Well, his night is over. An outstanding performance again by Garrett Richards. And he's making that routine.
That's what, you know, the whole process was about, right? We identified a few pitchers, you know, throughout the offseason, and he was on top of the list. And you know, we know this stuff. Obviously, last year, seems like he was finding himself coming from surgery, and it was just a matter of time. We felt that way, and, you know, you got to give credit to the front office and the scouting department and the medical department. You know, they trusted the player. We trusted the player. We decided to move on. And now he's here and he's doing an outstanding job.
Well, how the tables have turned. Garrett Richards now a borderline ace of the Red Sox staff, especially with Eduardo Rodriguez going south. So here's what we're going to do tonight on the Baseball Hour. And by the way, 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phones right away. If you want to talk baseball, this is your last chance really for the week. So I don't need to tell you that when we get to this time of year, that, you know, the Bruins playoff schedule, the Celtics playoff schedule, those things take precedent. We have the very good fortune here at 98.5 The Sports Hub to have the broadcast rights for all three of those teams. And I mean, I say all three, I'm including the Patriots. Patriots, Bruins, and Celtics. And so with the Bruins in the playoffs, they're playing a 6:30 game again tomorrow night at the Garden. Pre-game starts at 6. There will be no Baseball Hour. So if you want to talk baseball, now's your shot. 617-779-0985. You heard Garrett Richards there wrap up. What was a 7-3 win, I think, was the final last night over the Toronto Blue Jays for the Red Sox. And let me just say, not a small win. Not an unimportant victory. I know it's only May 20th, but the Red Sox got their asses kicked two nights ago. Many of you probably weren't watching the Red Sox game last night, and neither was I. But I did go back and watch a bunch of the highlights and some of the in-game stuff because I wanted to be able to touch base or, you know, to speak about it here tonight on the program. And Garrett Richards, again, went out, did his job, has been a completely different pitcher since that game with the New York Mets. And in his last five outings now, has four wins and an ERA in the low twos. And his last two outings in particular to me should stand out to you because the Red Sox were coming off significant losses both times. Obviously, two nights ago, again, they get their asses kicked by the Blue Jays. So they come out last night after an 8-0 loss. They jump to a big lead. Richards takes them into the seventh. The series before that, they had lost the first two to the Oakland A's. Richards went out there and avoided a sweep and pitched them to victory. Those are important wins. Those games after losses, particularly against good teams, very, very important wins. So Matt McCarthy's in studio tonight. He usually joins us on Fridays, but again, because we don't have a show, Matt was kind enough to come in tonight, so he'll be with us throughout the hour.
See, I just wanted to be here because Garrett Richards had another strong performance last night. My guy. I figure it's just good timing. Every time I come in, he has a strong performance the night before. I'm just going to keep that going. My guy, Garrett Richards.
Now that you say that, there is sort of a pattern developing there, right?
I would say so, yes.
Because I think it was it last Thursday that he pitched and you came in on Friday?
Oh, I've noticed the pattern. Don't you worry, Matt. So I have to come in and talk about Garrett Richards every single day. I've noticed the pattern more than just about anybody else.
After you were ready to kick him out of the city.
That's right.
And kick the team out of the city.
That's correct, yes. Yeah, they got moved to Montpelier.
Okay,
they've been welcomed back.
So look, while Richards was pitching the Red Sox to a win last night, Corey Kluber of the Yankees was busy pitching the sixth no-hitter of this Major League season already, and it's only May 20th. The Major League record for no-hitters in a season is 7. We are already at 6, and it would be 7 if you count Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-hitter for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So you could argue there were 7, but rules are rules, so call it 6, because officially it's 6. And Kluber was on the mound last night for the Yankees against the Texas Rangers, and this happened.
Ground ball to Gleyber Torres, and that'll do it! A no-hitter for Corey Kluber on a Wednesday night in Texas. Kluber becomes part of forever.
Okay, so again, Kluber pitches a no-hitter last night. 6-1 in the game, as I said, this year. So there's a link here. And this is an important one for the Red Sox, because I said this earlier in the year, Matt. Who would you rather have, Corey Kluber or Garrett Richards, knowing what you know right now?
Oh, Corey Kluber. And I felt that way entering the year, but knowing what I know now, even more so, Corey Kluber.
Okay, so you heard Alex Cora say that, give credit to our front office, in the cut we played at the beginning of the show. Cora said, give credit to our front office because we identified this guy. He was one of the pitchers we wanted. He was at the top of the list. I love Cora. Wrong. They went for Kluber before they went for Garrett Richards. Kluber was on the market first and signed first, and the Red Sox were in on Kluber. Kluber signed a one-year deal for $11 million with the New York Yankees. Based on reports that are out there, the Red Sox wanted an option year. Kluber didn't want to do that. He wanted to do a straight one-year deal. So Kluber went to the Yankees on a one-year contract. Richards subsequently came to the Red Sox on a one-year with an option for $10 million. So again, this is apples to apples now. Both of these guys were on the market, both of them coming off injuries, both in their 30s. Richards signed for $10 million. Kluber signed for $11 million. And this was after, by the way, the Red Sox had expressed interest in Charlie Morton, who signed with the Braves for 1 year and $15 million.
Yep.
So now, if Corey Kluber didn't want to come to Boston because he thought the Red Sox weren't going to win, fine. I don't believe that.
He lives in Winchester.
Kluber's wife is from Winchester. They now live in this area. Kluber wanted to pitch for the Red Sox. He ended up going to New York. So let me just give you the tail of the tape so far on these two guys, because I think this is one you should watch all year. I really keep an eye on this. If Richards pitches well and Kluber pitches poorly, and the better deal was Richards, or the better pitcher was Richard, because frankly, the contract doesn't mean anything. It's $1 million difference. And so the Red Sox get the option year. But again, I'd have given the option year to Kluber. Or I would have taken him on the one-year deal, is what I should say. If I were the Red Sox, I would have done that in a second. Innings pitched this year, Richards 48 and a third, Kluber 50 and a third. Almost identical. Wins and losses, they're both 4-2. Strikeouts, Kluber 50, Richards 43. So Kluber's strikeout numbers are a little higher. Whip, and this is where Kluber has Richards beat.
Significantly, too.
Kluber is 1.17, Richards is 1.47 because he walks too many guys. And ERA, Kluber hasn't beaten by a run. Now, look, at the end of the day, it's 286 to 372. At the end of the day, they're pretty close. Again, Richards at $10 million, Kluber at $11 million. And I would argue that of those two pitchers, Richards has the better stuff. I think he does. I think he throws harder. I think he's got more movement on his off-speed stuff, particularly the breaking balls. I think Kluber has better command and control and knows how to use what he has. And so the Red Sox ended up with Richards, but don't let them fool you. No matter what they tell you, they went after Morton first. They went after Kluber second. They went after Richards third. So if they end up with the best guy in that scenario, they lucked into it a little bit. But at the end of the day, I will also give them credit because they sort of financially, it seems, put them all in the same class. And so to me, that is something to keep an eye on. I think both those guys are going to have a significant impact on what happens in the American League East.
Well, absolutely, because they're both in some ways still wild cards, right? Maz, you know, Kluber is on a one-year $11 million deal because of injury concerns. This guy's a Cy Young quality pitcher. Like you say, Richards has better stuff. Corey Kluber knows how to pitch. Corey Kluber has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Garrett Richards hasn't been on that list. Now, listen, both guys have been good. They have, and they both got off to rough starts, but both guys have been good. The reason I wanted Kluber back in the offseason is the same reason I would still want him now. The upside's higher. Both are an injury concern. Both are absolutely critical components to each team. But the upside's higher with Corey Kluber, and right now you're seeing that the Yankees are taking advantage of that upside. Listen, Garrett Richards has been good. I'll be the first to admit it. Garrett Richards has been good lately, a good middle-of-the-rotation guy. Corey Kluber, those stats, that's a front end of the rotation guy. The Yankees got that guy. We'll see if he stays healthy.
Do you think you were wrong on Richards?
Yes, kind of. Absolutely.
So do you think this is what we're going to get for the rest of the year?
No, because I think he'll get hurt.
Oh, you do? Okay, but let's say he stays healthy. Do you think that he can pitch like this all year long?
The walks concern me. The command concerns me.
Okay.
I think he'll pitch like a middle-of-the-rotation pitcher, a guy who's going to go through stretches where he pitches well, and a guy who's going to go through stretches where he doesn't pitch well. Why? Because that's basically who he's been. Corey Kluber, if he's healthy, well, then he's going to be a legitimate number two starter. I don't think Garrett Richards is that, which doesn't mean that he's bad. I mean, I'll take a solid number three starter in the big leagues any day of the week, and that's what Garrett Richards has been. But there's more upside with Corey Kluber. Let's at least say that.
Okay, so look, again, I think the idea, if people think that this guy's going to pitch his way all year, all the power to you. Good luck, because I don't think he's going
to. He doesn't have the command to do that, Maz.
He just doesn't. Get ready for another slump somewhere along the line, because this guy's delivery is too erratic, too inconsistent. Although he did say some things last night after the game that I thought were actually legitimate arguments on his own behalf. And frankly, I've sensed a difference in his tone since the early part of the year, and I think he's bought into what the Red Sox are selling. 617-779-0985. We'll get to the explosion of no-hitters as well. Dare I call it an epidemic? An epidemic of no-hitters in Major League Baseball? Because it really is laughable. Which brings us to Bob and Needham. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Maz, by the way, sidebar to whatever we're going to talk about. Did you hear about Greenberg mentioned this today on the radio, that Kluber had a bobblehead night last night in Texas? Because they were going to do it last year, but he got hurt on the first game pitched, and they had a million of those bobbleheads, so they ended up giving out bobbleheads of Corey Kluber last night in Texas, and he pitches a no-hitter, which I've just mentioned that as a sidebar. Believe it or not, they gave bobbleheads of him, even though he's pitching for the Yankees last night in Texas. But my point was, the one thing about baseball right now, Matt, you and I think we agree, the shift has got to go. It's ridiculous. I mean, if you want balls to play, you can't have a guy playing in short right fields and taking away base hits. If you want balls to play, what are they doing? They're trying to just get some balls in play. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
Why don't you do that?
Yeah, so Bob, I'll tell you what. Honestly, the ball hit thing, thank you for the information. I honestly really don't care. But the shift thing, I think, is a legitimate point because this didn't come up earlier in the day. The record for no hitters in a season is 7.
Mm-hmm.
7. There are already 6. And so the approach of the hitters at the plate has to be a factor.
Absolutely.
It has to be, because if you look at the guys who've thrown the no-hitters this year, with the exception of one or two of them, the rest of them are kind of hacks.
Yeah, junk baller, like Wade Miley. I mean, Corey Kluber is a great pitcher, but he doesn't overpower you.
No, and he's not the guy he used to be.
Right.
So I don't even consider Kluber to be a no-hitter caliber pitcher. The only guy to me that stands out a little bit is John Means in Baltimore. Because that kid's pitching out of his mind right now, and he's a talent. Okay, there's ability there. So, but even then, look, we all know how rare the no-hitter is in and of itself. So to like look at it now and say, well, it's this or that. It's not just the pitching. It's not just the velocity. The shift is a good one, though. The shift is a good one. On the final out of the game last night, the Yankees were in a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball was hit to Gleyber Torres, who's typically the shortstop. So it's a fair point by Bob, because I do think that what the shift has done is taken away singles, ground balls through the hole. And a lot of no-hitters over the years have been broken up by ground balls through the hole.
We've all seen it, haven't we?
Yeah, and just one quick thing, too. Theo Epstein says he thinks that the shift is symptomatic of baseball's problems, that it's not a root problem. You know, the bigger problem is balls in play. And I agree that the bigger problem is balls in play. Well, how is the shift a symptom of that? The shift is not symptomatic. The shift, because again, the hitters are, the shift is an indication of, it's taking singles away from hitters. It's taking runners off the bases. That's what it's doing. So the shift is also part of the problem. I don't know why this didn't strike me until now, but calling it symptomatic is wrong. It's also a problem. You have to put in illegal defense rule. Yeah, to me, the shift absolutely has got to go. Too many teams do it now. It's just, it's getting abused. So 617-779-0985. The no-hitters in baseball, how do you fix it? Really, how do you fix it? And this is obviously a much bigger picture, a much bigger topic, and a common story when it comes to Major League Baseball. We'll get to that next with Matt McCarthy.
Fastball, curveball, and breaking balls.
Eh.
The Baseball Hour on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Here's the designated talker mouth.
Swing that out.
The Baseball Hour with Tony Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now here's the 0-1 to Calhoun. Hit on the ground to second. Torres throws to first. In time. Ball game over. Corey Kluber has pitched a no-hitter. Corey Kluber came within one man of a perfect game. He pitches a no-hitter, and the Yankees are delirious on the field, celebrating with Corey Kluber in the middle.
And they are jumping all over him, and Corey Kluber is all over Higashioka. Water bottles, they're pouring water on everybody. Hugs all around. This is really something.
John Sterling, obviously, with the call of Kluber's no-hitter for the Yankees last night. It is. It's an epidemic in baseball. It really is. It's unbelievable. And I was just saying to Matt McCarthy, there's something else that all these games have in common, or many of them do, which we'll get to in 1 second. But let's take a couple of calls. And again, we're here for the full hour tonight. No baseball hour last night because of the Bruins. It was a 6:30 start with 6 o'clock pregame. Same thing tomorrow. So Matt was kind enough to come in a day early, but we'll do baseball for the whole hour up until 7 o'clock tonight. Nelson is in Brookline. Nelson, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, just a quick thing about Richards. I remember last year you guys were getting on, or whatever the hell, whenever it was that Bozo Price was here with the Red Sox, you guys were on him about him not being able to pitch in the cold. Now, with Garrett being such a wimp as well, you know, what makes you think that he's actually going to be this effective come, you know, the New England cold?
Okay, so Nelson, you're talking about the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm not worried about that yet. I'll worry about that bridge when we get there. Let's just get them through the regular season first, because this is another thing, too. Like, all of a sudden, the Red Sox are running away with it, or they're a playoff team, or can we not get too stupid?
Right.
They got their asses kicked 8-0 by the Blue Jays the other night. They've basically played 500 baseball since that winning streak. So, and that's, a, you know, that's closing in on over a month, or it's over a month now. I was going to say closing in on a month. It's over a month that they've played 500 ball. So I'm not telling you I think they stink. I think they're going to be in it for the whole year. I don't think that they're going to fall out of it, because I think there's too much talent there and they're too well run. So it feels to me like they've all bought in. But, like, the idea that now the playoffs are a guarantee that they're going to make it, I think that's a little much.
Right. The Blue Jays are in fourth place in the American League East, Maz. You know how many games they are back of the Red Sox who lead the American League East?
1.5.
1.5. It's as bunched up as it gets. It's the best division in the American League. And, again, I think, on the whole, the American League kind of stinks. But this division's all right. I don't think there are any superpowers, but this division, it's all right. So it's pretty solid.
Yeah, and think of how tight it is, too, in that if the Red Sox had lost last night, they'd be out of first place. And not only that, I think they'd be in third or fourth.
Yeah, they'd be tied for second with the Yankees. Well, with the Blue Jays. Oh, no, you're right. They'd be tied for third with the Yankees.
Yeah, they'd slide back. It's really, really tight.
I was told there would be no math.
In that division, Sean's in Wakefield. Go ahead, Sean. Sean, you there? Okay, Sean looks like he hung up. His comment line said it's launch angle that is leading to this no-hitters. Nate's in his car. Nate, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking my call here. Hey, now I was thinking, does the dead end baseballs this year have any profound effect on the no-hitters? Like, does it change the speed and velocity of the baseball that much that it'd give them an advantage? And also, it looks like there's less home runs, more pop flies because of it as well.
Okay, so Nate, actually, I think home runs are up. Home runs are up based on the last story I saw, which was a couple of weeks ago. But McCarthy, let me ask you, does the ball have anything to do with it?
No, I'm not concerned about the ball because that doesn't really, you know, cause, to me, Maz, people are saying, you know, juice the ball more. Well, then you're just going to have more home runs and the ball's still not going to be put in play because the hitter's approach is all out of whack. I don't think juicing the ball or deadening the ball does anything to fix the problem that baseball is dealing with right now. It's the pitchers are too good. The hitter's approach is too bad. The shifts are taking away too many hits. There are so many more problems in baseball than the ball itself. I don't even go that. That's not even like top five on my list, whether the ball is juiced or not.
So look, you want to tell me that the ball being juiced, because again, home runs are up. Home runs are up. They've gone up. So strikeouts have gone up too. So this again speaks to velocity and approach. It's not the ball. And I'm okay with them deadening the ball. The other thing is, what does a deadened ball have to do with a line drive into the gap or a ground ball through a hole? Well, it doesn't get there as quickly. No, there are three fielders over there. That's the, it's the shift and it's the approach at the plate, which go hand in hand, by the way. I think those things have way more to do with it. There's no shame in striking out anymore. So again, just think of the convergence of those things, Matt. On the one hand, you have pitchers throwing harder than ever because they want strikeouts. That's what they want. And you have hitters and a philosophy of hitting that says we don't care about strikeouts. So we'll give you all the strikeouts you want. We'll try to hit the home run every 10 swings. So what is that going to produce? Home runs and strikeouts.
It's a confluence of so many factors. And it's been building to this over the course of years and years and years, Maz. And this is what we have. And it's not good.
So again, pitchers are going for more strikeouts and the hitters are willing to give them. So what are you getting? A ton of strikeouts. Boy, that works. Matt and Jimmy have the same thing to point out here as it relates to the no hitters. So do it quickly. Matt, what do you got? He's in Oregon.
Hey, boys. Do the batting coaches of these teams that are getting no hit take any accountability for it? Because it was Seattle got no hit twice. Cleveland got no hit twice. And the Rangers get no hit twice.
Okay, it's the same three teams. Absolutely. Jimmy, you have anything to add to that?
No, that was pretty much it. Also, just I agree with your point on the shift. The shift needs to go. And then maybe to get the approach changed, and I know it's a little gimmicky, do something along the line, like penalize teams to strike out a certain amount of times in a game. I don't know. Something.
Yeah,
change it up.
So Jimmy, I'll tell you what. One of the proposals we had last year was, and this was actually from a guy who came in and bought time as part of the Christmas in the City.
Sure,
Matt the Stat. Okay, Matt the Stat. We got to have him back on, Jimmy Stewart. I think Matt the Stat proposed a system in which the draft order was based on the number of strikeouts you had during the course of a season. So the team that struck out the least would get the number one pick. The team that struck out the most would get the last pick, independent of where you finish in the standings. Now, do I think it'll happen? No, never. But I like the way he's thinking, which is to say that the strikeout needs to be penalized for offenses. There's going to be more of a premium put on putting the ball in play. And this is also where the shift comes in. So because of the shift, teams look at the shift and they say, well, I'm not going to hit a ground ball to that side. I'm going to try to hit the ball in the air, so I might as well try to jack it. Instead of saying, I'll hit the ball to the opposite field. That's gone.
Well,
completely.
It's gotten to the point, Maz, where baseball truly needs to litigate this stuff out of the game. Because for the longest time, I was against banning the shift because I was just stubborn and I said, there are three guys on the right side, hit the left side. Well, you know what? Hitters aren't doing that anymore. And you know what? Pitchers are better than they've ever been before. When did you start? When was your first year covering the Red Sox?
Oh, early 90s, like 92, 93.
How many guys in Major League Baseball threw 98 with a hook?
Oh, gosh, not many. A handful.
How many guys do it now?
Everybody.
So it's gotten to the point where the pitchers are better. The velocity's too, you know, these pitchers are too good. They're better than they've ever been before. You've got the shift taking away, you know, taking away hits left and right. You need to litigate it out of the game. So how do you do that? You move the mound back. You ban the shift. You expand the strike zone, which encourages contact, because then all of a sudden, if you don't have the shift and you can hit it, you know, to all fields, if you expand the strike zone, that forces hitters to take the ball the other way. You start having to litigate strikeouts out of the game. That's what baseball needs to do. And there are many ways you can do it, by changing the dimensions of the field, by changing the way you call the strike zone, all that. We've reached the point where baseball needs to do essentially all of it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the idea of moving the mound back, I'm warming up to that more and more.
Oh, I've got my shovel in the back of my car, Maz. I'm going down to Fenway Park after this. I'm moving the mound back myself. Back it up. Back it up. And you know what? I'm going to get a front end loader and I'm going to drive it all across the country and I'm going to move all these mound back myself.
No,
everybody throws 98. We got to stop this.
No, I love that one too. You're going to retrofit all the mounds in baseball fields across America. And my answer is yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. It's a pile of dirt with a piece of rubber stuck in it.
I've got a shovel and I've got an army of people that I'm sure would be willing to do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Fenway Park, 4 Jersey Street. Meet me there about 7:15 tonight. We'll go move the mound back ourselves.
I mean, we still have an unemployment problem in this country.
That's right. That's a stimulus package right there, Maz.
I'll tell you what, I'll get an edger and a shovel and I'll show you how to do it. Because I know I can do it.
Listen to the Toolbags podcast, 98.5thesportshub.com. You can check that out. Maz will teach you how to not only fix your home, but move your mound back.
I believe the Toolbags is now defunct, okay. But I appreciate the mention.
Sorry to hear that.
617-779-0985.
I'm a homeowner soon. I was going to be listening to that.
McCarthy's got your headlines. And then... I want to get to something that Alex Cora said after last night's game. Because, again, had the Red Sox lost, they would have fallen out of first place for the first time in quite some time. Cora was asked about this, and I found his answer interesting. We'll tell you what he said when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
New name, same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, if you guys had lost tonight, this would have been the first time in 40 days you would have been out of first. I mean, even this early in the season, is that important to you guys as a team?
Kind of. It's important to win the series, and we have a chance to win it. Not too many people thought that we were going to be, I don't know, X amount of days in first place during the season. So that's for other people to think about it. Our thoughts are, you know, just give us a chance to win the series. And now we do. Now we do.
So again, that was Alex Cora last night after the win over the Blue Jays. Ian Brown of MLB.com asked him, if you had lost, you know, you would have been out of first place. Was that at all an incentive? You know, would that have meant anything? Is, I think, how Brown put it. And Cora says, no, the reason why it meant something is we have a chance to win the series. And I do think that Cora has drilled this message into the team, Matt, this year, that, like, let's just win series. Let's just keep playing good baseball and we'll be fine. He doesn't want to get too far ahead of it for lots of reasons. And it's obvious. You say, oh, you'll play him one at a time. Like, I get it. But I also think, in this case, I think Cora knows they're not that good. I mean, they're good. You know, yeah, they're solid. Yeah, they're competitive. They're a big league team. They're pretty decent. But it's not like he's got the 2018 club here, where once they get rolling, they have all this talent. They put the gloves on the field and they win half their games just by showing up.
Yeah, they're not exactly the 27 Yankees.
This team can't do any of that. They can't look too far ahead. They cannot do it. They're not good enough. And I do think that Cora has done a good job with that so far, keeping them on the beam. And they've done a good job building this roster of getting guys who like to play, who like to compete. You know, even Marwin Gonzalez, as much of a disappointment as he's been offensively, that guy will play any position you stick him at any night.
And you know what? He'll be pretty decent there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, he's all right. He's a pretty decent find. Listen, I've been really critical. I've probably been more critical of Chaim Bloom than most, because I do feel like in many ways he left them short on role players. I don't think the bullpen's good. The vast majority of the bats he's brought in have been really, I think, pretty putrid. Gonzalez kind of fits into that mold. I mean, he hasn't been good at the plate, but he gives you something in the field. This team gives you something. They do. And I love the approach from Cora. And you've spent a long time around the game, Maz. You know what, you know, that whole win a series approach can eventually build towards. You can't look at it too big in baseball. We all know it's a grind. I mean, you know, that's the whole experience of it. So the fact that they're focusing on this one series at a time, that's the trademark of a pretty solid team in baseball. And I know it sounds simple to say that, but it is. You win one series, you win the next, you start stringing some series wins together, all of a sudden you look up, you're right in the thick of things. When maybe you shouldn't be, because maybe you're not the most talented team.
Yeah, absolutely. You end up 15 games over 500
right.
is what happens.
Which gets you in the playoff discussion, that's for sure. And granted, most competitive division in baseball, you know, you're going to have to, they're going to play important games. Every game they play is important, because there's not going to be much to separate them, the Yankees, the Rays, and the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and once they hit June, they'll get into the heart of that schedule, that division schedule, which will ultimately decide the division. Jim's in a truck. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, what's going on? I was just wondering, at what point are we going to start celebrating Xander Bogaerts, like Patrice Bergeron or David Ortiz, or I wouldn't go as far as say Tom Brady, but, you know, Boston royalty. You know, he's a great player, consistent, won two rings. Let's go.
Yeah, so look, Jim, you know, he's not David Ortiz either. I mean, Ortiz won, you know, multiple titles and was one of the most clutch hitters in the history of the game. But I get your point. And honestly, I think we're starting to get some of that now. I think, you know, they sucked so bad last year, but I think people know how good a player Bogaerts is. What you need for him to really get the recognition is you need a team to play in the playoffs and to win. And more importantly, check out Bogaerts' postseason numbers. They're not great. They're not great. So in order for that to happen, Bogaerts needs to produce in the playoffs.
Needs to have a big moment for sure. But just in the context of things, you don't need to convince me on Bogaerts. He's, you know, been my favorite player on the Red Sox for a long time. But let's just put him into the context of Red Sox history. Maz, he might go down as the greatest shortstop in the history of the Boston Red Sox. He's already putting himself in that discussion.
Oh, I think
and I know Cronin's in the Hall of Fame and everybody loves Nomar. And I was born in 1991. I love Nomar Garciaparra. Don't get me wrong. Xander Bogaerts is on the verge of becoming the greatest shortstop in the history of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, the whole Cronin thing, please. Like, we're going to start comparing him to a guy that played 100 years ago or 70. You know, like Nomar is in the modern game is closer, but we all know what there was stuff going on there with Nomar, too. Guy was a rail, and all of a sudden he turned into a, you know, Hercules. Sean's in a car. Sean, go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Good. What do you got, Sean?
Basically, my idea is to, sorry, my son is being crazy. my idea is to not allow guys to warm up after they enter the game as a reliever. You warm up in the bullpen, you come in, you pitch. I knocked a half hour off the game just doing that.
Yeah, so Sean, I let you go. I'm sorry. They've trimmed the number of warm-up pitches already. And, to me, I don't mind a guy taking a few. Mm-hmm. Just to see what the mound is like and the slope. Maybe the slope is different. They're not all quite the same.
You got to make sure I evened it out after I move all the mounds back, Maz. I'm not saying I'm a great craftsman there. So, we got to give them some time to work up to the Matt McCarthy mound.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want to play something for you that Garrett Richards said that I actually thought made sense. I thought, you know what? He's got a point there. And I'm no big Richards fan. I told you, I'd rather have Corey Kluber than Garrett Richards. I think McCarthy's with me on that one. Mm-hmm. But Richard said something last night, about his development as a pitcher that I had not considered, and I think it's a fair point. And we'll wrap it up with your phone calls when we come back on the Baseball Hour.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Talking baseball with Tony Mass.
This is the Red Sox we're talking about.
It's the Baseball Hour on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm kind of growing into a complete pitcher, I guess you would say. You know, be able to compete on days you don't have the best stuff. You know, recognizing situations, recognizing counts, you know, reading swings. You know, these are some things that, they take reps and they take, you know, you getting burned a few times before you kind of realize it. So, It's been a learning period of time, and you know, I think we're trending in the right direction, so I'm stoked about that.
It's Garrett Richards. Again, he said this last night after the game, and I've given Richards some grief for this. I keep saying over and over, like, how does a guy who's 31 years old get to this stage and realize his delivery sucks? How does that happen? Like, he's been around. It's not like he just got into the big leagues or just turned professional. It's like he's a draft pick that you've had to rebuild. So I look at it and go, how the hell did this guy get to this stage and realize that his delivery sucks so bad that he was going to have to simplify in order to throw strikes consistently?
Crappy coaching.
So that's sort of what I thought that too, or I thought maybe he's just kind of a knucklehead, uncoachable. Like, who the hell knows? Like, I thought all those things, Jimmy. And then he said something else last night when he was sort of pressed on this topic, like his evolution as a pitcher, how he's becoming more of a pitcher than a thrower. And I said early in the year, this guy's a thrower. He doesn't pitch. He's a thrower. All he does is wind up and whip it from his ass, and he has no idea where it's going. But it's getting better. I mean, there is improvement there. There's no question. Whether or not he can sustain it, I don't know. Typically, guys like this can do it in bursts, but they can't do it permanently. But there is something different about Richards that I did not take into account. So he said something else. Jimmy, let's play the next cut.
Are you a different pitcher right now than you have been throughout your career?
Definitely. I'm doing some things this year that I never really opened up as far as my arsenal or how I go about pitching. You know, being hurt over the last several years probably didn't help either. You know, I didn't really have a lot of time to develop. You know, was kind of stuck in rehab mode for most of that time. So, you know, I've always had the stuff, but as far as the developmental side of it, you know, injuries have kind of hampered me in that area. So I'm just excited about, you know, coming out every day, trying to learn something new, trying to figure out something in my delivery that's going to make me that much better. You know, and Bushy has a lot to do with that stuff. So, you know, we're gelling well right now, you know, a lot of information out there, a lot of good communication. So, you know, one day at a time.
So I didn't take this into account. The guy's been hurt so much. Yeah. He's not a true 31-year-old. You know, developmentally, he might be younger than that.
He's probably more like a 25 or 26-year-old.
So I was just looking this up, Matt. You know, when he was 26 and 27, he pitched, you know, about 180 innings on average per year. He went 28 and 16. His ERA was in the low threes. And he was walking three guys per nine innings.
He was a pretty good pitcher for the Angels before he got hurt. He had that knee injury at Fenway Park.
And then, over a five-year span, you know how many games he started?
Oh, God. I don't know how many games he started. I think it was something like 140 innings, though, over 5 years.
41 starts, 198 innings over 5 years.
Yeah.
And as he said, when you're hurt like that, you know what you're doing? You're rehabbing the whole time.
Sure.
You're playing catch. You're getting on the mound. You're not actually getting in games for any sustained period of time. So there's no pitching coach there to say to you, you got to do this. You got to do that. Let's fix it. Nope. You get hurt again. We start all over. You got to rehab. And right. So there's no traction.
You're there with the trainers, not the pitching coach.
Right. So I don't know whether this guy can stay healthy or not. But it does answer a little bit of the question of how has this guy gotten this far with a delivery that sucks that bad? Because his delivery at the beginning of the year, it sucked.
Looked like me out there, and that's not a good thing. Long-haired wow. McCarthy.
I mean, again, Doc Ock, arms and legs flying everywhere. And now, you know, it's still not, I wouldn't call it pretty, but it's not nearly as ugly as it was. It's much slower. And it does feel to me like more of a north-south delivery, although I still think he still comes across his body. But he was so bad early in the year, it looked like he was thrown in the on-deck circle on the third base side. Like when his foot was about to land, he was almost aimed to the third base dugout. It was horrific if you look at some of the images. It's better now. It's a little bit more of a straight, you know, it's still not straight, but it's straighter to home plate. And I think that's a big reason that he is throwing strikes.
Oh, without a doubt, Maz. And, you know, but when you compare his delivery to Kluber, I mean, again, who would you rather have?
Kluber.
Not that I need to convince you. Kluber's a pitcher. Now, Richards has improved. And by the way, all the credit to Dave Bush. And again, I've been critical of Chaim Bloom. Some credit here to Chaim Bloom, too, because he's found some guys who have developed under Dave Bush and, you know, developed under this system. And this was the whole thing, right? Is they're going to be able to find guys off the scrap heap and they're going to come in. They're going to pitch well, like Pivetta, like Garrett Richards. They've made it work. They've turned around that rotation. A lot of credit there. I don't think they've made the bullpen work yet. Give them some more opportunities. But this rotation turnaround, it's pretty good, Matt. So credit to Chaim Bloom, and most importantly, credit to Dave Bush, because he's taken guys in Richards and Pivetta and turned them into big league quality starting pitchers.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Dave Bush. We're going to find out more here as the year goes along, because I think he's going to be a big topic of conversation. You know, and again, not necessarily on this show. I don't know if he's a talk radio topic. But I think you're going to read a lot about Dave Bush and the Red Sox approach on the mound. One of the things I do like... I like the way they pitch. You know, it's more aggressive. Last year, and even before that, when they had guys with real arms, way too passive on the mound. And it was a lot of, you know, we're going to pitch to your weakness instead of to our strength. And I hate that. I hate it. And now I feel like they're finally saying, no, we got guys with stuff. We're going to let them use it. And that, to me, is a much better approach on the mound. I much more aggressive. If you are, I tell you, Matt McCarthy's got an interesting story here to share, because tell everybody what you told me when he came into the studio.
Yeah. So if you've been watching the news at all today, you've probably heard about this massive 5-alarm fire in Revere that spread to 6 houses. That fire started in my brother's apartment building. It started above him. He's okay. His girlfriend's okay. Their dog is okay. They've lost everything, but you know what? That doesn't matter, because they're okay. And you know what? Everybody else got out of that building, thank God. And, you know, in the houses it spread to, it doesn't seem like anybody was hurt there either. So thank God. Believe it or not, Naz, I was actually dropping by there right as the fire started. So I got there. I was there before all these fire departments came. And all of them came because it was a 5-alarm fire. So I just want to take this moment personally to thank the firefighters from Revere, Chelsea, Winthrop, Lynn, Stoneham, Medford, Cambridge, Somerville, Wakeville, crews from Massport. Those were just the trucks I saw. There were probably firefighters there from other towns. If you were along the Route 16 corridor or anywhere north of the city, they probably sent firefighters to this fire here in Revere today. I want to thank them personally for their bravery. It's incredible, Maz. You watch these people, they go into these burning buildings. And we know that. We know that's what firefighters do. And I've worked in news radio. I've been on the scene of fires before. We were talking, you've been on the scene of fires before. But man, when you see these people go into these buildings and search for people, for pets, for everything, my God, they're unbelievable. So if you are one of those firefighters or first responders on the scene today in Revere, I'd really like you to reach out to me so I can thank you personally, because I saw it all. I saw it all today. My DMs are open at MattMcCarthy985, and I just want to put that out there. You guys are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, you're unbelievable.
It's an amazing service that firefighters in particular supply,
yeah.
provide. And not that we need to tell people that, but I think a lot of that changed, just my two cents. I think it was always there,
sure.
But when 9/11 happened in New York, I think there was a whole different approach there in terms of, first responders, firefighters, police, with the type of stuff that went on at that time.
Because when you see
it's nice of you to say that, Matt.
No, when you see it, when you have the images, and when you see it in person today, and again, thank God everybody is okay. But when you see these people go into those buildings, we get to play in the sandbox of life here, Maz. It's not lost on me. I know it's not lost on you, and it's not lost on anybody here at this station. But man, when you see those people go into those buildings today and, truly put themselves in danger. This thing was spread. It spread to six houses. All right. I mean, this was no joke. You could see the smoke all over. I mean, the pictures you see from Boston today, from Logan Airport, the smoke billowing from this building. Again, my brother, it started a floor up from him. It's just, it's unbelievable.
Well, listen,
thank you all. You're incredible.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear your brother, his girlfriend, and their pet made it out all right. And it's easy to say that's the only thing that's important, but
right.
I'll tell you what, because again, I've seen it. When you lose everything in a fire, like everything,
sucks.
It's easy to say when it's not your stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a hard thing to do to sort of start over. So our best to everybody affected over there. That's the end of the program. Again, no show tomorrow night. It'll be a Bruins pregame at 6 o'clock into the game at 6:30. Game 4, Bruins Caps right here on 98.5. Jones and Arcand have you for the balance of the night. Lucky you. You have to listen to that clown. I don't really mean that. I love Jones.
We all do.
That vulture. You have to listen to him. Arcand's a good guy. Jones is like the most negative being on the planet.
It's all right.
McCarthy's got your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.